Yeah, here we come, baby. Here we come. Here come the Jets, babe.
Yeah, that's right. Here we come. Here come the Jets. And this is Dennis Agapito, and we are very happy to have you aboard for another wonderful episode of Jet Nation Radio. But here come the Jets, but into free agency right now, very slowly into free agency. We haven't seen much except for Nick Folk get signed. But as you know, this is an interactive show, and we need you, the audience, to participate. So please join us on Twitter. It's at Jet Nation Radio. You can give us a phone call. The phone number is 646-716-4697. Please hit 1 when prompted. But, of course, I am joined by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Tyson Rausch. So, Tyson, are you still awake with all the inactivity that's been going on thus far in free agency for the Jets?
Dennis, you know what the funny thing is other than Josh McCown and Mike Vick, almost every name associated with the Jets, no matter what position it was dead wrong. I mean, almost every name. It was comical. You hear Hawkins, Asamoah, all these names that, oh, Jets are linked to them. Jets are very interested. All this, free agency starts, we're all sitting here, and they're all signing somewhere else. So just as we always expected, just like last year, John Idzik kept things tight to the vest. Obviously, he's doing the same thing again this year, and it's been a slow start, which I guess if you believe in Idzik, you're not going to panic. But based on Twitter, there's a lot of panicking going on right now.
Well, remember last year, the teams that made the big splashy move was Miami came out in front. And you know what? We talked to Joel last week, and we got a lot of great insight from Joel. And he described John Idzik as a pragmatic, patient type of guy. You know what? I think he'll let the first wave of free agency come through, and then he'll look and see what he's going to get in the second wave of free agency and make sure that, you know, he's in the market. I know that Austin Howard might lose him. Again, that would be a big blow. They lost Cromartie. They cut him for the salary cap reasons. Could be back in the fold. Holmes probably gone for good. Sanchez still on the roster. A lot of things to discuss. But Tyson, I think you want to get into it first before we get into Revis and all these things. We have so many topics tonight, folks. So many things. We actually had the show as 2 hours tonight. We're going to go as long as we can, as long as we have great content, because there's so much to talk about. But I know, Tyson, you want to jump in a little bit about the potential free agent quarterbacks out there, and Michael Vick in general, maybe Josh McCown a little bit, but some of the things you're hearing about Michael Vick that maybe are bothering you a little bit, because it's kind of on a personal level with Michael Vick.
Yeah, Dennis, absolutely. I mean, the first thing with Josh McCown, I know he's visiting Tampa Bay, and for my purposes, I hope he stays there. I want absolutely nothing to do with Josh McCown. I mean, he had 5 good games surrounded by an all-star cast with Mark Trestman as a quarterback guru. So for me, I don't want to pay Josh McCown $5 or $6 million a year to come in and play for the Jets. As for Mike Vick, the most surprising thing for me was, you know, for me, Mike Vick brings in instant – Mike Vick is instant competition for Geno. So I posted a couple comments on Twitter, and I could not believe the outrage and some of the comments I got back on from a personal level and just about Mike Vick in general. I mean, there's fans saying, you know what, if Mike Vick signs, I'm not going to buy my tickets. If Mike Vick signs, I'm not a Jets fan any longer. Dennis, for me, just starting off with that, for me, that is ridiculous. I mean, everybody deserves a second chance. Mike Vick last year was basically a model citizen. He lost his job. He supported Nick Foles. He didn't cause any waves. He's played well. He's been hurt a lot. But, I mean, for me, Mike Vick is not the circus everybody's making out to be. And, Dennis, for me, I'm surprised people are taking a stance where it's like, if Mike Vick comes, I'm not supporting the Jets anymore.
Yeah, you know, look, I hear what you're saying. Everybody deserves a second chance, and Mike Vick has tried his best, you know, since he's had these issues off the field to come back and be a model citizen and with the animal stuff and try to help out and be charitable. And I just don't see why you say I'm not going to be a fan of the team because of them signing this particular player. Look, everybody's got something in their life, whatever happened to them, which they regret or look at and say, hey, I'd like to do it over again. I've had a chance to do it over again. But, Tyson, we do have a call on the line. I actually want to talk a little about Michael Vick. Would it be all right if I brought him on? It's Jose from New Jersey, and maybe, you know, he can kind of chime in on what you were saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Jose, it's Dennis and Tyson here at Jet Nation Radio. We appreciate you being aboard. I don't know if you heard all of everything Tyson was discussing about Michael Vick, and maybe you want to talk a little bit about him coming to the Jets and some of the personal stuff that Tyson was alluding to.
Sure. I don't have a problem with the Jets signing another quarterback, but I don't understand what's wrong with this organization. Like, they did it with Tebow, they did it with Clemens, now they're going to do it with Vick. Like, if Geno Smith is our guy, then let him be our guy. Don't bring someone who's going to be better than him, you know, after 16 games. You know, just let him be your franchise quarterback. I don't understand why. They should bring a lesser quarterback to be the backup.
I mean, Jose, do you think, I mean, when you, heading into this season, do you think Geno Smith is the franchise quarterback?
At least give him opportunity, give him some weapons, at least. Who we had? Yeah, no one. I mean,
that's,
listen.
That's fair, but and I agree with what you're saying, but why bring in a lesser guy and kind of hand the job? If he can't beat out Mike Vick, then why should he be the quarterback? If he can't beat him out, let the best man win. If he can't beat him out, then you know what? He's not good enough.
Yeah, but he – all right, but you want him to go into the season with confidence and saying, all right, I'm the man, I'm gonna play great. He should play great regardless, but I think the confidence factor would, you know, kind of get to his head a little bit.
See, I'm more into the thing where it's just like, I'm not worried about Geno Smith's confidence. I'm worried about finding the quarterback that's going to win games. So Geno Smith can't handle a – if he can't handle a competition – I mean, last year with Sanchez was a farce. If he can't – he had a year under his belt – he should understand the system. He's hanging out with Morningway. He's doing all the right things. He should have his own confidence. Say, you know what? I want to take this job. No matter who they bring in, I'm going to beat him out. If he can't beat him out, then so be it. For me personally, Dennis, I mean, I'm not sure about you, but for me, if Geno can't beat him eventually comes in, that's not my problem. That's his problem.
Yeah, but I you're right. But I guess you're kind of setting him up for failure, you know?
I'm not. See, for me, I understand what you're saying. You want to give Geno a chance. For me, giving Geno a chance of saying, you're heading into training camp with a shot at the starting position. If you don't accept it and raise your game to the next level, somebody else beats you out. I mean, Dennis, what do you think? I mean, for me, it's like, I want Geno to have as much competition as possible. If he can't beat that guy out, then so be it. I mean, Dennis, your thoughts?
No, I think I'm totally in disagreement with you, Tyson. Here's the thing. Geno Smith has competition. You know what his competition is? He's got to prove it this year. Otherwise, he's going to end up going the way of a journeyman at best, okay? Starting quarterbacks in this league get paid, and they get paid big-time money. And if he ends up proving that he's a legitimate starting quarterback in this league, then he's going to move forward and get a big payday eventually. But you know what? If he has a terrible season, here's the thing with Michael Vick. He's had 30 touchdowns and 38 turnovers in the last 3 years. Last year, he only played 6.5 games. He's 34 years old. He just isn't the same player that he used to be. And I hear what you're saying, but the fact is that if you bring Michael Vick here and Michael Vick ends up being the starter, it's really because Geno Smith failed, not because Michael Vick succeeded. Jose, I'm going to throw it to you. What do you think about that?
I agree, but I don't know. I think they should just give him an opportunity, you know, give him some weapons and then see what he could do, you know?
Jose, listen,
I agree with you. Go ahead, Tyson.
Well, Jose, my question for you is this. Say you bring in a guy like, just, I'm just going to throw a name out there just for giggles. Say you bring in a Kellen Clemens to back up Geno. If Geno completely falls apart and this team is built to win, would you be worried this season is going to go away because we don't have a backup that can win games?
Yeah, I agree.
But that's assuming that Michael Vick can win you games. How many games did Michael Vick win lately with the Eagles? If Michael Vick's so good he can win games, aren't there other teams out there that need a quarterback who can win them games? I mean, wouldn't the Oakland Raiders maybe want to bring Michael Vick in? They don't have a quarterback. Mike McGloin is the answer, and they're going to draft
They're going to take one, though. They're going to take one in the first round. That's why he probably won't want to go there.
They could develop him. They could develop. They got Vick start while they develop. And, you know, so that's the thing. I mean, why not have Vick come in, play for the year, let the rookie develop, and then go. You know, Jose, do you agree with me? You know, if Vick is such a hot commodity, that's my thing. If you're going to bring Vick in here and pay him $7.5 million, which is what he's going to command, I mean, Matt Castle got $5 million a year. Matt Castle, I mean, $7 million. That's $7 million you'll never see. And if he ends up getting hurt in two games, you go back to Geno Smith. I just don't like the whole thing. I think it's a recipe for disaster. You know what? I feel you got to ride it. You got to ride or die with Geno.
The first interception that he throws, they're gonna call for Vick, and that's not fair to Geno Smith. You know?
Yeah, no, that's not. You're right. You're not. It's not. It's not fair to Geno Smith. And you know what? I just don't think that Michael Vick right now, and Tyson disagrees with me. He has his opinion. No one knows who's right. I just think looking at the last 3 years, looking at his age, I realistically don't think that he's much better than Geno Smith. If he is the starting quarterback, the Jets season, in my opinion, is ruined anyway. But listen, Jose, we got another caller on the line.
That's
really
right.
Appreciate
you
calling in.
No,
give me
thank
your time
you
tonight.
That's
thank
fun.
You very much for being on Jet Nation Radio.
All right, no problem. Thank you. Bye.
Take care. All right. Sorry, Tyson. That's just the way I feel. Look, I hear what you're saying about Michael Vick or Josh McCown. Look, is Josh McCown Matt Flynn part two? Guy had a couple of good games, and now he's going to cash in big time and end up, you know, losing out to by the way, Darrelle Revis trade is unlikely, I just read. But, you know, end up losing out to a third-round draft pick. Is that what Matt McCown is? I mean, excuse me, what Josh McCown is?
No,
or
I mean, Dennis,
is
like,
he
I mean,
really
like
legitimate
earlier,
guy
I
who
don't
could,
have to do Josh
who could start?
I'm not paying a guy $5 or $6 million a year for five good games when he's surrounded by an all-star cast. For me, it's like if you don't go the Mike Vick route, your options are guys like Sean Hill, Tavares Jackson, Kevin Cobb, Kellen Clemens. I mean, then it's basically
that's
I mean,
fine.
For me personally, Mike Vick can win games. I think he can win games. I think
so can Sean Hill.
But the other thing though with Mike Vick is he knows morning wake systems. So if you're looking for a mentor for Geno, what better guy? He's already been in the system. So that for me, it's a win-win. Like I understand the hatred about the dogs and all this other stuff, and I'm not buying the whole circus atmosphere because, you know, the Philadelphia market is just as bad as the New York market. He did fine in Philadelphia. So I'm over the whole that whole circus, and that's gone. So if you're looking at talent, Dennis, if he is healthy, do you honestly think he could beat out Geno?
Maybe not. I mean, maybe not. Look at it. Look at his numbers for the last 3 years. I mean, you want me to read them to you? He played six games last year. He had a 54.6 completion percentage. Okay, he had three interceptions and two lost fumbles. The year before, he played 10 games. He had a 58% completion percentage. And the year before that, he had a 59% completion percentage. Again, the 3 years cumulative, 30 touchdowns, 38 turnovers. He was a turnover machine, especially a red zone turnover machine. I'm sorry. I think that Michael Vick is past his prime. He's a guy who's going to give you – if he was a starter, he'd give you half a season. But how about this? How about we bring someone in on the conversation who calls in weekly? It's our friend Jude from North Carolina. So, Jude, welcome to Jet Nation Radio. Happy to have you aboard. What say you about this whole Michael Vick thing? Because this seems to be, you know, kind of a big sticking point with a lot of Jet fans here. Like, what are we going to do with the quarterback situation? Should we pay a lot of money for a backup and just maybe push Geno out, or should we just roll with Geno, bring in a serviceable guy if Geno got hurt, and give him better weapons, and let's get a better assessment of him? What do you think?
Well, I used to be vehemently opposed against Michael Vick, but after thinking about it, I think it would be a good idea for us to bring him in. I mean, you talked about his bad seasons, I believe, 2011, 2012. I don't recall 2011 very much, but 2012, I know. Even though he may have had a bad completion percentage and red zone turnovers, a lot of those times, if you saw their offensive line, it was god-awful. Like, there were times where he literally had, like, 1 second before someone was on him. So, I mean, there are
and
circumstances.
And Geno Smith's offensive line was great last year? Did Geno Smith's offensive line play great last year?
It wasn't great,
but
it wasn't.
All I heard was people are so wait a minute. So that's the excuse.
It wasn't great, but at the same time, it wasn't god-awful. Like, it was mediocre. That's what I think it was. It was mediocre.
Jude, my question for you is, Jude, here's my question, and, like, you know I agree with you. So, but what kind of contract would you give Vick? And this is my only sticking point with Michael Vick. I'm not opposed to bringing him in, but my concern is I'm not getting him $7 million a year to come here. So what kind of contract do you give Mike Vick?
That's a good question. I mean, personally, me, I'm not very good on those numbers. It depends on what your expectation of him is. If your expectation is he has an actual legit chance of starting, not just a placeholder, then you give him a bit more than you would give a backup like Josh McCown, for example. So,
I mean,
Josh McCown's going to get more than Vic.
He's gonna get, yeah, Matt Castle got $5 million. He's got 2 years, $10 million. So you're looking in the 5 or 6 range for those guys. So my guess, if Vic is in a bidding war, You may be looking at $7 million a year. Would you be okay with that?
I'd be okay with 6.5, but 7, I mean, sure. I mean, if he comes in and scores a lot of touchdowns, we won't really care about his contract so much. But, yes, I would be okay with giving Michael Vick $7 million a year to come here, compete with Geno. If he beats him out, that's great. see what he does out there on the field, and then go on from there.
My next question for you is this, and this is something that I was kind of surprised about today, and I got pretty much bashed on Twitter, was there's a lot of fans that are saying the Jets sign Vic, A, it's going to be a circus, and B, they're not going to watch the team anymore, or they're going to sell their tickets. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, I mean, the whole dog thing is well in the past right now. I mean, I can understand people not forgiving him for that. I mean, it's terrible what he did, but he got released from prison, what, 5 years ago, 2009, I believe. So it's been 5 years since that happened. And I personally, I wouldn't leave if Michael Vick came. I can't imagine more than 3% of people would leave if Michael Vick came. I mean, it's not like he – well, I mean, I'm not going to get into all of that right now, but it's not like he murdered a person in cold blood. So I wouldn't – in other words, I wouldn't anticipate a lot of people leaving. A lot of the players still like him, too. It's about the free agents. It's not about the media, what they think. A lot of the players still like him. You know DeSean Jackson. You know McCoy likes him. Avon likes him. A lot of players around the league still respect him. So it's not like he's just a complete scumbag. You get what I'm saying?
I agree. I mean, I think there's a side that some people just won't let go. They want to believe certain things and not really looking at the whole situation. I mean, in many aspects, Vic took a leadership role last year with Riley Cooper. So I guess my next question for you is this. Say the Vic thing doesn't turn out, and now we're back to, okay, now what are we doing? No McCown, no Vic. Is there another quarterback that you have an interest in? Is there somebody else that you say, hey, you know what? This guy could be a serviceable backup.
I know a couple of names that's been floated around. One was Sean Hill. I guess I'd be all right with him from the Lions, I believe. Another would be, I mean, I doubt he gets released, but Matt Schaub. I mean, if it's just for a backup role, I know if those two would be fine. I wouldn't be comfortable with Josh Freeman because, honestly, every coach he's been around, he's got fired, so I personally wouldn't want him around me. He's just Mark Sanchez light. So, yeah, that would be my choice at quarterback, should we not get Vic or McCown.
Hello? All right, well, I mean, again, do the Jets feel this, that they don't think Geno Smith is the man and they want to bring in a guy who could legitimately start and McCown or Vic could be that guy, and they're going to see what happens. Or are they going to roll with Geno? They don't want to pay the money for these guys. They don't think they're worth it. And quite frankly, I don't know if either of them right now in their situations, given a 34 and it's going to be a 35-year-old, McCown has had 4 good games in his career. In my mind, that doesn't tell me that they're going to give me more production than Geno Smith, who's going to make a seventh of the cost of the money that they're going to get paid. But, Jude, listen, we're going to wrap up the call. We really appreciate you calling in. It is a very difficult situation right now. The Jets are in, and you know what? We'll just have to see how they handle it. My personal opinion is, and my guesstimate is, that Geno will have a serviceable backup like a Sean Hill, a guy who can just be there, help him out on the sideline, keep his confidence up, win games if you need to, if Geno gets hurt, and go on from there. But, Jude, listen, we're going to wrap up. I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate your input, as always.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Okay, night now. All right, that was our friend Jude there. So, Tyson, a lot of interesting things from Jude.
No, there is. And, like, I like Jude's take because he kind of swayed as more information came out about Mike Vick. And I know I'm taking a lot of heat for Vick, and I have no problem bringing him in here. My only concern is the price tag. If he gets over to that $6, $7 million range, I mean, that gets concerning because then, if Geno does beat him out, that's one expensive backup on the bench. But Dennis, he mentioned an interesting name that I want to get your opinion on, and that's Matt Schaub. Now, Matt Schaub is, he's won some games. He's got, he has the high completion percentage. He left on a sour note in Houston. For me, he's a concern because at some point he couldn't handle the heat in Houston. Matt's had a great running game and Owen Daniels and Andre Johnson. What is your take on Matt Schaub?
From watching him last year, I just think he mentally shot. Remember he threw that terrible interception that cost him the game against the Seahawks? I just wonder that. I hear what you're saying. Again, these names don't really thrill you. I still think everyone kills me. You talk about getting killed on Twitter. Bring David Garrard back. David Garrard, a few years ago, was winning the job in 2011, was going to win the starting job in Miami. I know he hasn't played in a couple of years. I know he's got bad, but – you know what? If he's healthy enough to play, bring him back and there's your backup. And he's going to cost you, what, $1 million? That's $6 million you're going to save moving forward. And I look at that more. Again, if I thought Josh McCown could come in here and be the starter and take me to – I don't feel that way. I honestly don't feel that way. He's going to have the same cast of characters around him that Geno Smith has. You know what? I don't – the jury is still out on Geno Smith, period. That's my opinion on Geno Smith. The jury is still out on him. You can't judge him by last year. He showed flashes. He had good Geno, bad Geno. He had time, that three-game downturn where he looked like he didn't never played football. And he had times where he marched down the field for a game-winning drive. He did things with his legs. He made good passes. He was one of the highest, you know, rated as far as accuracy and mid-level passing. Can he pick up the can he pick up reading defenses better? Can he slide protection better? Can he cut down on the turnovers? These are important things. But you know what? A guy who's 35 years old isn't a long-term answer. Geno Smith potentially could be, and that's why I think the Jets go in that direction. Why don't we switch gears a little bit and just talk a little bit about free agency? Because, you know, from what the Jets fan base is kind of like, you know, where are the free agents? Why aren't they signed? And we had Joel Curry on last week, and I hope a lot of people got to listen to Joel. Great insight. And he knows John Idzik from way back when he was with Tampa Bay. And, you know, John Idzik, from what we've learned, is a patient man. He's not a panic-type guy. He's not the guy who's going to set the market. That was Tannenbaum. Tannenbaum would come right out and set the market, and boom, and here's your contract. And the first day of free agency, within an hour, boom, they were signed. But that's not John Idzik. Right, Tyson? Am I correct?
No, you're definitely right, Dennis.
But one thing about John Idzik that this patience sort of paid off was, and we can kind of tie this together, was Darrell Revis, who's now apparently being cut. So there goes our third-round pick, which I can't believe. Again, I got to eat my words a little bit here, and I'm a man enough to do it, because I said there was no way the Buccaneers could cut him, and they're not cutting him to save a round in the draft. They're cutting him because he's due a $1.5 million roster bonus on the 13th, and they want to save all the money. So that's just like a bonus for them. But think about it for a second, Tyson. What would happen in New York if the Jets traded for a player, their first-round pick, who turned out to be the defensive rookie of the year for the other team, a fourth-round pick, and paid a player $16 million just to cut him? What do you think the New York media would do to them?
Oh, they would be the laughing stock of the NFL. They would be worse than the butt fumble jokes that were going on for too long.
It would be horrible. You know what? But it was John Idzik's patience, because he waited and he waited and he waited. And he said, you know what, I want that 13th pick in this year's draft, and you're not getting Darrell Revis, and he meant it. This is why Woody Johnson stayed out and didn't meddle. Said, you trade Darrell Revis when you're ready, and he did. And he got that 13th pick, and it turned into Sheldon Richardson. The Jets are already winners, and this has already been a complete disaster for the Buccaneers. And Jason Licht, if he had a trade offer, he would drive Darrell Revis but Darrell Revis won't change his contract, won't do anything. Now, there's talk about him coming back to the Jets. I don't think it would happen. I wanted to get your opinion on that, too. So, I mean, again, the patient John Idzik paid off already last year in an offseason where he didn't have resources. Maybe the patient John Idzik will pay off this year in free agency, but I want to get back to Revis quickly. Do you think that Revis could potentially come back to the Jets? Do you think that's even a possibility?
You know, it's an interesting situation because at some point does Revis say, you know what, I've made enough money, I've broken the bank, I want to go back to play for Rex Ryan, and I'll take $10 million a year to do so. Will he say that?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't have the answer to that. You know, if he does do that, I mean, Woody Johnson has to be concerned. I think if anybody has the most issue with it, it's probably Woody Johnson bringing it back, just due to all the headaches he's given him. But then I'll throw it back to him. My answer is I don't know. I mean, is Revis at some point going to not go for the top dollar? History dictates when he's always going to want it, which means to me he's going to be a Raider. But do you think he comes back and says, you know what, I want to play for Rex Ryan, I miss New York, I can't sell sneakers, I'm no longer Revis Island. Do you think something probably kicks in where he's not going to be the desire to be this $16 million a year player?
Well, he's never going to get $16 million, and he knows it. I still think he wants to be, you know, the highest paid cornerback. Would he come back at less money, and could he work it out? First of all, Woody Johnson. Does Woody Johnson want him back and want to deal with it and mend fences? That's number one. I mean, look, they released Cromartie. They supposedly had this deal in place for Vontae Davis that fell through. And, you know, now they are hurting at the cornerback mark, so they do need somebody. And Ultron Werner is a name that's been thrown around. He's still out there. And, again, who knows what his market will be. I mean, right now he hasn't been signed, and who knows, maybe he's pricing himself out of the market. And maybe with Revis coming in, some teams are holding back to bring Darrell Revis in. You know, look, he would definitely he knows the system. He probably would perform better. Here was the thing. And remember, I said this last year. I thought Bill Sheridan would get fired because Bill Sheridan didn't know how to use Darrell Revis. And Lovie Smith's system didn't fit Darrell Revis. Rex Ryan's system fits Darrell Revis's strengths perfectly. So I don't, I've seen stranger things happen. I don't knock it out. Do I think he'd give up money? No, but I don't think that he's going to get in the open market $30 or $40 million. I mean, it's just hard to tell what he's going to get in open market now that he's a hair older, and you wonder if that 2009-10 Revis is gone. I just wonder if the Jets are, or is it back to the future with the Jets? Are they going to go in another direction? Look, I think they're definitely going to kick the tires on it, and he's going to have to mend some fences, but you know what? Stranger things have happened. I don't rule it out. But, again, let's get into Cromartie a little bit being released. You know, he was released because of his salary cap reasons. Holmes released. He's not coming back. Sanchez will be released. But Cromartie, after he tests the market, do you think the Jets could re-sign Cromartie?
I definitely do. I mean, I think the thing with Revis, I think there's a chance, for me personally, I think Revis can hold the market up a little bit. I mean, guys like Berner and Tlaib may say, hey, you know what? We're not going to sign our deal until we see Revis gets. If Revis gets, say, 12 million a year, then we want 10. So, I mean, I think Revis could actually hold the market up a tad for these guys to see what he gets. In terms of Cromartie, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think he could collect less, but you know what? He may go to the top bidder himself. I mean, he said, you know, I want to retire a Jet, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, you know what? Money talks. You can say whatever you want in December. Tell me the same thing in March. March came. He didn't take a pay cut. You know, so it's like, you know, I think he could come back, but I think the Jets also may want a guy, let's say Captain Munnerlyn or other guys like that, Walter Thurman, maybe they may explore him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it depends on the market. I mean, if these guys start signing like crazy, Cromartie's, you know, his value could raise, and I think he could probably get more money than he will from the Jets. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, well, look, if Cromartie does get more money from the Jets, then they're going to have to go in a different direction. They're going to have to look. But this is the thing. I mean, people are panicking, but there's a lot of names out there. And again, a guy like Zach Miller, who Joel mentioned. If they sign Jermichael Finley, Zach Miller's a goner. You know what? He'll be coming to the Jets. The Jets will be to bring him in. It seems like to me like Austin, Miles Austin is a guy we've been talking about forever. Now finally cut. I'm not saying a lot of people said, well, you know, he's injured. Why not bring in three B-type receivers? And you know what? And some rookies. And then you cut the ones that you don't need and they have no guaranteed money or limited guaranteed money. There's a lot of different ways you can put the pieces together. And I really think that this, again, John Idzik is the opposite of Mike Tannenbaum. He's patient. And look at the teams that really have jumped out and tried to grab free agents. The Buccaneers, right? The Dolphins. I mean, the Green Bay Packers are not heavily in the free agency. The bad teams, they run out and they go. Or they really, that's what happens. A lot of bad teams run out. Maybe the Eagles, I would not put in that category, though. They've signed a lot of their own guys and a couple of guys in free agency. That's what you need. The Jets have to use a mixed bag of stuff here: free agency and the draft. Right, Tyson? Don't you agree with that? They're not in full-fledged rebuild mode, but they're not, we're two players away, let's break the bank for two players because they're going to put us over the top mode. They're going to have to use a mixed bag of both to have success.
I agree with you to a point. I understand the patience. I understand using the draft as a resource.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at some point, I want to add proven playmakers. I mean, just for an example, like I'm big on Darren Sproles, and I think as the last report with the Saints is, they become a trade partner, or several teams that are willing to trade for him. For me, a guy like Darren Sproles is invaluable. I mean, he changes the dynamic of the offense instantly. So for me, a guy like that, I pursue a guy like that. I mean, I could see not going with some of these big names, like overspending for Eric Decker or something like that, because you're not sure of what he's going to bring to the table as a receiver or his price tag is too high. I mean, for me, Darren Sproles is a guy. I mean, I was bummed out when McCluster signed somewhere else, kind of like him. But it's like, could you, a guy like Darren Sproles, be a guy that you kind of target, maybe get a little aggressive with?
You know, it depends. Again, Darren Sproles is 31 years old. I know he caught a lot of passes with the Saints, but is he a product of the system? Eric Decker, a lot of people say he's a product of the system. Has he lost a step? He certainly wasn't that player that had 2,000 all-purpose yards, I believe it was, a few years back with the Saints. So he's not the same exact player. Maybe you target that guy in the draft. Again, a younger, stronger, quicker, faster, instead of a one-year deal for a guy, you know, who may or may not have enough in the tank. So that's what concerns me about stopgap guys. Look, if you've got no other option, hey, stopgap guys are great. And they may use some. They may utilize some as they develop draft picks and things like that. Like I said, a mixed bag. But I I really don't feel that Darren Sproles or one of these types of players is going to ultimately be the difference, because there are other avenues to explore to get similar production. Here's a guy I want to bring up, Lamar Woodley. A lot of people were discussing Lamar Woodley, and you can even bring DeMarcus Ware into this. I think Ware would want more money. But a guy like Woodley, you'd have to pay, I'm guessing, about $6 million per, say, over 3 years. I'm taking a guess. 5 to 6. We had Joel on. He said around 5. Let's say the Jets gave him a three-year, $18 million contract, $6 million guaranteed. And they brought back Calvin Pace. Now, I know Woodley has some injury history. His sack numbers have gone down the last couple of years. He's going on 30 going into the season. But don't you think using him as a situational pass rusher, not putting a ton of pressure on him to be out there for 90% of the plays, mixing him in with Pace, you think you could have over 10 sacks in this defense?
Yeah, I mean, if we learned anything from the Seahawks, you can never have enough pass rushers. So, I mean, that's something where you got to count on Rex Ryan to evaluate him and say, you know what, I can get production out of this guy, and it's going to be significant. And I think you can. I think that I mean, even DeMar, I think you said, like, DeMarcus Ware, I think his cost will be higher than Woodley.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's definitely kind of a guy you got to look at. But, Dennis, that's kind of like, if you're willing to add a guy like that, you're not willing to add a guy like Sproles.
Well, the thing is that Sproles is not a pass rusher. I think I can get a Sproles type of guy, a situational type of, you know, catch the ball in the backfield, catch a screen. I think I could ask that guy. I could add that guy in the draft. And Chris Ivory is my workhorse. Bilal Powell is my sort of, you know, jack of all trades back. And then I got this guy who I develop, you know, and I give him 10 touches a game or whatever it is. The Giovanni Bernard type of guy. We can only hope we get someone like that. Okay, that's why I think that way. But no pass rusher you're going to get in the draft, because they go so high, is probably going to give you the production that Woodley can give you right now, even at going at 30. Maybe you can draft someone later, you can start developing, but you know what? Are you going to use a first or second round pick when you got a lot of needs on offense, and maybe these needs are not filled in free agency? What if you have a need at cornerback when you get into the draft? We mentioned this a while ago. Justin Gilbert, Bradley Roby, Denard. Maybe the Jets need a cornerback. You know, maybe they fill all the holes and they need a cornerback desperately. Maybe they don't sign Verner or Revis or Tlaib. Maybe they don't really have a guy. So there's a lot of different ways things can go. I would definitely, to help my secondary, bring in a pass rusher. That's the best remedy for your secondary, pass rusher. You know it. How many times did we watch teams when Revis was on the field waltz down and score a touchdown when they needed to, even when the mighty Darrell Revis was on the field playing great? You have to have that pass rush, and a consistent pass rush in 1 second. And then the thing with the Jets was their pass rush diminished a little bit down the stretch. I think they were tired. They're on the field too much. Having a nice rotation, keeping the guys fresh, I think will help their pass rush in the long run.
Okay, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you Lamar Woodley if you give me Chris Clemens.
You mean Chris Clemens, the safety from Miami? Or Chris Clemens,
yeah. The safety from Miami.
I would take Chris Clemens. Yeah. I mean, he would be an upgrade. Chris Clemens would be fine. You know, he'd be a moderately priced guy who you could bring in, and, you know, he's played in the league. He has some experience. He's not going to cost you Jarius Byrd money. Again, has Jarius Byrd signed for the money that he wanted? No. So, it's again, it's this patience game. Maybe these guys come to the Jets, and some of the guys we wanted end up on the Jets at a much more modest price than we thought. And I want to let people know that, okay, so we've gotten to Woodley. I'm just got my little list here. We try to touch on everything. We touched on Revis a little bit. You know, that's very interesting. It'll be very interesting to see. Again, the Buccaneers, I just keep laughing because it was so obvious that they had made a big mistake when they traded for him. We talked about Miles Lawson. Emmanuel Sanders, I know, is visiting teams. I know that somebody has informed me who was close with him that he is visiting teams. So he didn't tell me what teams, but we kind of know the ones. So hopefully if there's some news on him and the Jets, we'll let you know. Somebody said that they could probably get him for $4 or $5 million. Look, Andre Roberts is signed for $4 million per year. Andre Roberts signed a four-year deal for $16 million. You're not getting Emmanuel Sanders for $4 or $5 million a year, folks. Sorry, you're not getting him. You got to go between that 6 and 7 range realistically for Sanders. But here's a guy we want to get into. Austin Howard. The Jets allowed him to walk off the free agency. And this is what we're talking about, patience. Jets allowed him to walk off the free agency. And here he goes. Now, apparently, if he's going out to Oakland, they have a lot of cap space. They signed Roger Salford, probably the left tackle. Who'd they lose? Was it Valdi here? That was their left tackle.
Yep.
They lost him to the Cardinals. So they lost their left. So Salford is interesting because he played left tackle. He's played right tackle and guard. He'll probably play left tackle for Oakland. They paid him kind of left tackle money, but he's not really that good of a left tackle. Austin Howard's going out there. Now, now they have this Manalik Watkins, who's actually from England originally, played Florida State, you know, could or could not take over that right tackle job. Are they going to pay Austin Howard to be a guard? Now, are they going to pay him $7 million a year to be a guard?
Yeah, Dennis, my fear is I think they're going to. I think that a deal with Austin Howard gets done for the next 24 hours, and he's going to be a Raider. And I think, you know, then the Jets have to look at, like, a Zach Strieff or maybe a Giacomini from Seahawks, maybe Eric Winston. But I guess my question for you is, are you surprised that John Idzik let it go this far? I mean, I think a lot of us assume that the deal would get done. Do you think the Jets took a calculated risk by saying, you know what, we're going to offer you, just say, 5 years, $25 million, take it or leave it, and it kind of backfired on him. Now they're like, now he's walking out. Were you surprised how this all went down?
Well, my question to you is, do you think he's worth $7 million a year? And if that's what he gets from the Raiders, if that's what – like what we had Joel on, the highest right tackle in the league is Gozer Trailers, and he gets $7 million per. And, you know, Austin Howard isn't as good as he is. Or I think maybe Phil Lowholt might get $7 million. Okay, we can make an argument there. But, look, is he worth – and you know what? Do you have to at one point just say – he went on the market outperformed what we were expecting to pay them, and we'll go in a different direction. This is what good teams do. I heard this story from someone who knows the Giants real well when Kevin Boss was coming back from Oakland and called up Jerry Reese and said, look, they offered me this contract. You want to beat it? And Jerry Reese said, congratulations. You know, thank you for your service with the Giants. Good luck in Oakland. That was it. It was above their budget, and that's what the good teams do. So John Idzik is patient. Look, what if Austin Howard goes around to some teams and doesn't like his offers and comes back to the Jets? That could happen. I mean, that's ultimately would be the best thing. So that's what he's hoping for. But you know what? It never works out perfect, and it's a hit or miss thing here. I think there's a very good chance that Howard ends up out the door, and you know what? They're going to have to go with Plan B. And that might be in the draft. Maybe now they go into the draft in the second round and get a tackle. I really don't know if it's going to be a free agency, someone in-house, free agency, or the draft. And again, it's just I think that John Idzik has plans B, C, and D in place if things don't work out. And that's what I like about him, because he doesn't panic. He didn't just say, okay, here you go, $28 million and $15 million guaranteed, even though you're not worth it, and I'll regret it a year down the line. I'll regret giving you that contract. That's what you don't want.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying with that, and I agree with you. I mean, you don't want to overpay, but just for the sake of continuity, I mean, your right side right now is unknown. I mean, is that not a concern at all? I'm assuming you can get Willie Colon back on the cheap if he comes back and he's healthy from his bicep. But, I mean, at some point you can say, hey, you know what, we know what we have in Howard. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns. The draft's an unknown. There's a lot of unknowns. I mean, the three inactive guys from last year, they're clearly unknowns. So, I mean, at some point you got to say, I know what we have. Let's keep our own instead of taking the risk in the draft. Or I mean, Zach Strieff is highly ranked. I mean, Giacomini, the Seahawks, and the guy is ranked, you know, okay. But, I mean, Dennis, you're not concerned at all with the right side of the line?
Well, of course I'm concerned. But look at the Giants. They're rebuilding. They just signed Jeffrey Schwartz. I mean, they have one they reduced Chris Snead's salary down next to nothing. He'll be lucky if he can play with his hip. Okay? Will Beattie's been horrible. They're thinking of moving him in the guard. You know, Taylor Lewan is the guy who's being mocked in the draft because, you know, they couldn't keep Eli Manning upright. They're refurbishing their whole line. Look at the Buccaneers. Talk about a team. The Buccaneers. I mean, they released Davin Joseph. I think they released their center Zuda. They don't like Donald Penn, their left tackle. And Carl Nix they signed Carl Nix to a $50 million contract. And he gave him one season. He's had these bad toe injuries, and his career might be over. So both their guards are gone. Their center is gone. They don't like their left tackle. They have one guy, DeMar Dotson. That's it. They're refurbishing their whole line. The Giants just brought in Jeffrey Schwartz, by the way. So the Jets are not the only team in this position. The Rams. I mean, look at the Rams. Everybody has Greg Robinson or Jake Matthews being mocked to them. I mean, they brought in Jake Long. He didn't work out. They drafted Justin Smith, second overall. Remember that guy who was with the Jets for a while? He was the second overall pick. He didn't work out. The Rams have tried and tried and tried to build their offensive line. And you know what? They signed Scott Wells. They signed Jason Brown from the Ravens a long time ago. None of these guys have worked out. They're constantly rebuilding their lines. It happens. The Jets have two rocks, and I don't care if you thought DeBrickashaw Ferguson had a bad year last year. You have DeBrickashaw, and you have Nick Mangold, and you know what? I'll take Brian Winters at left guard, and I'll worry about the right side of the line, and I think that it can definitely be filled with serviceable players at a reasonable price. If Austin Howard goes for $7 million per, I will not shed any tears. I will realize the Jets made a smart decision.
I'm gonna agree with you to a point. I'm kind of looking for more of the continuity, and I mean, you almost made my point for me by saying all these teams keep trying to sign guys, they haven't worked out. You kind of know what you have with Howard. I guess my next question for you, Dennis, is, I mean, looking at the receiver position, I mean, you mentioned Emmanuel Sanders before. I mean, where do you see the Jets going? It's like Golden Tate's visiting with Detroit. Some of these guys are coming quickly off the board. Here's a guy I was curious of your take on. What is your take on Julian Edelman?
He's a Wes Welker clone when he's in New England. When he has Tom Brady throwing him passes, yeah, he can have 100 catches for 1,000 yards. Where does he play? Again, round peg and square hole. This is not what we're looking for. Whose spot does he take? Jeremy Curley's? Is he a split end where you put up there on press man coverage? No. He's a guy who sits in the slot and catches two-yard passes. I'm not interested in paying Julian Edelman. I'm interested in Julian Edelman at all. I'm not interested in it. I want an X or a Z receiver, you know, which is a split end or a flanker. That's what I want. A guy who's, and people say it's not a number one or whatever. Whatever he fits in Marty Morningwig's system at X and Z and whatever routes they run, that's the guy I want. Again, no round pegs in square holes. Get guys that fit your system. That's what you do. That's what the good teams do. If the guy is great at playing man cover, like Revis, they put him in Tampa Bay and they played him in zone. You know, it's like buying a brand new pair of shoes and leaving them home and wearing sneakers to the dance. So, no, I don't want Julian Edelman. But listen, Tyson, I was wondering if you wanted to get into this real quick. We had an opportunity to interview, and I had to take a phone call for some callers in Europe, and I'd like to play one of them now. And we have a little bit more time than usual because they rarely get to call in, and it's a little dated, a hair dated, but they had a lot of interesting things to say about free agency in the draft. So some of the things might be a little bit dated, but I was wondering if we could play John's call first here. I think you'll get a kick out of it. He lives over in Germany, and he's really enthusiastic, and I was wondering if we could just throw that up right now.
Oh, absolutely, Matt. I think John's great. He always sends us tweets and emails, and he's always got great insight on the Jets.
Yeah, he's a former Marine. You'll hear all about him in the call. Enjoy it. Like I said, we gave him a hair more time than usual, but he's a passionate Jets fan, had a lot of interesting things to say, so here he is. All right, everybody. Welcome to Jet Nation Radio, and this is Dennis, and we have a special guest that we've set up today. He's calling actually from Germany. He's a big fan of the show, Jet Nation Radio, and unfortunately for him, being in a couple time zones ahead when the show is on live, he can't call in. It's like 4 in the morning. So we set up a special time for him to call in. His name is John. He used to be a Marine, and he was serving over in Europe. He now lives there. He's a big Jets fan. Like I said, he's a big fan of Jet Nation Radio. So we're happy to give him an opportunity to call in to speak with myself and Tyson. So, John, welcome to Jet Nation Radio. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. What do you got for us on our New York Jets?
Dennis, Tyson, great to finally get a chance to talk to you guys. Appreciate you setting this up for me. First off, I love the show. I listen every week. It's the highlight of the week. I actually wanted to start off by talking about some of Joel's comments from the last show. I thought he had a lot of great insight, especially on the contractual side. Two things that really stood out for me was mentioning John Carlson possibly getting cut by the Vikings and Zach Miller and his ties with Idzik. I thought those made a lot of sense for the Jets. Maybe not breaking the bank. It's kind of a thin tight end market out there right now. Really, you wouldn't have to force your hand early in the draft, sign a guy like that, and maybe re-sign Cumberland to be a two. I know it wouldn't be a really big splashy move, but just curious about your thoughts on that.
Well, John, first of all, I'm really glad I got a chance to talk to you because it's a blast to get a different perspective. I found the same comments interesting. It's just like, the Jets, they have to explore all options. Michael Finley you know, is an interest, but the neck injury has to be a concern. So other options. And when he said Zach Miller, I didn't even think about him, to be honest with you. And then with Carlson getting cut, I mean, those are two great options. They'll probably come at the right price. And then, Dennis, I mean, I'll go to you. I mean, I've never been a big fan of re-signing Jeff Cumberland, maybe as a two, but I don't want to give him anything more than a veteran contract. So, I mean, I kind of agree with you, John. I mean, Dennis, what do you think?
Well, I kind of said this on the last show, too, and we kind of hinted about this a few weeks ago. I felt like the tight end was really, you know, the most difficult position here to sort of assess, because I feel like the wide receivers, you have A, B, and C wide receivers, and you know what? You can kind of see how the market plays out and go from there. I think there are options there. Tight end, I mean, you mentioned Jermichael Finley. Again, Dennis Pitta, he got this big contract. Jermichael Finley, I know he's got the neck issues and some injury concerns, but is he looking for a big contract, and do you regret it later? So I think signing Cumberland would be a good move, right? Price is very important. But Zach Miller, Carlson's got the concussions. Am I right, Tyson? Carlson's got some concussion issues.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would think a guy if Zach Miller were cut by the Seahawks, it's almost a no-brainer. The connection with Idzik, bring him in. You know, draft a guy. And again, everybody talks about Eric Ebron, Troy Nicholas. I know that John's a big Notre Dame fan. We'll get him through a little bit, but you know, you might be looking to go down the line, a guy like an Arthur Lynch from Georgia as a developmental guy. So you know what, a Zach Miller, Arthur Lynch, and Jeff Cumberland. Can you get the production out of them for less money than you could from a Jermichael Finley and any other backups you'd use? I think you could. So that might be the route the Jets go. Again, you don't want to make a decision that you regret. Would you agree with that, John?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think Ebron will be there for us at 18, and I think any of the other guys, mm-hmm. whether it be Jason Morrow or Austin Sarrius Jenkins or whatever, they're going to be a reach at 18. So maybe you go second, third round, or even later on, like you said, with an Arthur Lynch in the mid-rounds and develop them out with another young tight end in Sudfield still on the roster. I know you've mentioned Scott Chandler a lot too, Dennis, and I like mm-hmm. him, especially as a red zone threat, you know, 6'7" guy, but he scares me a little in between the 20s, maybe getting lost out there. Not really too athletic of a weapon, but it's just a thin market, really, for tight end. So,
I guess, John, my question for you is, with this thin market, I think, you know, Marty Morningwig's always known to be creative. Do you think if the Jets pick up a running back that is a threat as a backfield, which we hope with Mike Goodson, but that didn't pan out due to the injury and the arrest. If the Jets picked up a running back that can catch the ball in the backfield, can that make up for the thin tight end market in your eyes?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for adding weapons wherever we can get them. It's no big secret that the Jets need to add some talent on the offensive side of the ball, which kind of actually leads me into my next point I want to actually ask you guys, and that's the offensive line. I know most Jet fans are focused on adding wide receivers and tight ends or wherever we can get help to kind of help Geno out with pass catchers, but I really think that offensive line needs some work. I think they finished in the bottom tier last year in the rankings, and who knows what's going to happen if they're going to re-sign Cologne or even if they can re-sign Howard. Probably let Dukosko go. Gets a little thin there. What do you do with that right guard spot? So, you know, I've heard you guys mention, and I know most winning programs mention that you build from the inside out. So I think, to me, it doesn't really matter if you have Calvin Johnson and Jerry Rice on the outside. If Geno's on his butt or running around, it's not going to make much of a difference. So just curious what you guys think about the offensive line.
I agree with you. I mean, the offensive line's got to be a concern, especially now with Austin Howard not in the fold yet. I mean, I'd feel a lot better if Austin Howard was in the fold. I'm thinking the Jets may try to explore bringing back Willie Colon because of the injury. I think they come back at the right price. But I agree with you. I mean, you know, once you get those guys, I mean, Dennis, they had three guys last year. You know, John Idzik brought in three guys that were inactive the entire season. So either they are projects that are hopefully going to pan out this year or we wasted their time. So, John, I agree with you. Offensive line depth's got to be a huge concern. And a bigger point is, we've been really lucky with Nick Mangold. I mean, Nick Mangold has been a bull, never gets hurt, you know, fights through everything. So I think offensive line's got to be an issue. I probably wouldn't go the first couple rounds. But, Dennis, what do you think? I mean, between the guys that were inactive all last year, we need some depth and we need some talent brought into the line.
Yeah, you know, I think part of this problem was Geno Smith not having the experience to make some of the right calls at the line and move the protection the correct way. So I do think some of these sacks go on Geno, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you want to go out and spend the type of money you're going to need to spend on a guy like a Jeffrey Schwartz or a John Asamoah, who are, you know, Schwartz could play guard or tackle, like 27, 26 years old. Are you going to want to go out and spend that kind of money on, say, a right guard, bring back Howard? And, I mean, look, I'm not saying they wouldn't. But like Tyson said, the Jets kept Ben Ijulana, who was a second-round pick of the Indianapolis Colts a few years back. They kept this Will Campbell, and they kept Ode Ebuche on the roster. Like John, let me ask you a quick question. Do you think if Will Campbell was waived by the Jets last year, let's say they needed a roster spot, do you think Will Campbell would have been picked up on waivers by another team?
I don't think so. I mean, as a converted defensive tackle, that's kind of what I'm scared about because, I mean, I remember this time last year, you had a lot of expert draft analysts talking about, you know, mocking Chase Warmack or Jonathan Cooper to the Jets at nine.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think, as good as, you know, Brian Winters came on late in the season, but addressing the guard situation with Winters and Cologne was kind of, you know, I'd be scared if Campbell or Schlatterhoff or somebody had to start at that right guard spot come September. So.
Well, I've been saying this. My point is this about Will Campbell. You think he would clear waivers, which means they could have put him on the practice squad if they needed a roster spot, but they protected him. So they must see something in him. They must see something in Ijulana. They must see something in them. Now, are they just backups? I don't know. They must see something in these guys, and maybe they think that they can step in. Look, there's a lot of guys in this league that you don't hear of, and then all of a sudden they kind of come on and they play a lot better. So maybe the patient approach at guard might be the best thing. I'm not saying that that's definitely going to happen. A guy like, you know, Jeffrey Schwartz or, I said, John Asamoah, they could be on the radar and then have a competition at left guard. You said Winters came on. Every team has a weakness somewhere. So let's just say Winters was your weak link, but he kind of progressed, got better in his second year after getting his feet wet last year. I'm really not that concerned about the line, but I do think this. The Jets have this cap space. Why did they develop Austin Howard to let him walk off the free agency? Look, he's going to get X amount of the open market. We talked to Joel last night. You heard it, and he said he's going to get about $5 million per year. I think that's fair. You know the way the contracts work. You get 2 or 3 years out of him, then you can release him if he's not working out. I think the Jets have to bring back Austin Howard, have some continuity in that line, and they will fill the guard spots, I think, via free agency and the guys they have last year. Kind of maybe a combination of both. But I wanted to get into this to you, John, a little bit. I hear some Jet Nation all the time about how the Jets have no skilled players, no none of this, none of that, and they need to bring in guys. And then you lay out a scenario for like a guy like Emmanuel Sanders and like, well, I don't want him, or I don't want this guy, and I don't want that guy, or I don't want to pay this contract, because I actually have a contract, a mock contract, up on JetNation.com for Emmanuel Sanders. And people are like, well, I'm not paying this amount of money for him. But that's what he's going to get on the open market, folks. That's around what he's going to get. This is not, you know, let's make a deal. If you want him, this is what you're going to have to pay him. So my question to you is this, is do you see the Jets going into this market and being very aggressive and trying to get the top guys, or do you see John Idzik maybe sitting back, being patient and waiting for the market to develop, maybe with some cap casualties, lesser guys, a guy like a Sidney Rice, something like that? So that's what the opinion I want from you.
No, I do not see them being aggressive. I mean, everything you ever hear about John Idzik is he's a pragmatic guy. I mean, Joel mentioned it yesterday. I think he'll go out, he'll let the aggressive guys go out, set the market, and then try to find the bargain somewhere in there. And that kind of leads me to Jarius Byrd. I mean, would I love to have him on the Jets? Absolutely. Do I think the Jets are going to make him the highest paid safety in the NFL? I seriously doubt it. I think there's other bargains out there, like a Louis Delmas, or I guess Dante Whitner would probably be too expensive. But you can. Plus the way Antonio Allen came on towards the end of the year, I thought he did excellent in the coverage situations. So getting back into pass catchers, though, I don't think maybe look for a guy like an Andre Roberts with your ties to Arizona there, too, that Joel mentioned yesterday. Or I don't think they'll take a look at Kenny Britt because of the off-the-field problems, and despite the local the local connection with Rutgers, but, man, would I love to see Golden Tate and Green and White.
John, I got a question for you. So, I mean, I agree with you where you're going with this, but, I mean, it's kind of concerning because we finally have the resources. I don't want to sit back and be like, hey, you know what, I'm going to bargain shop. I mean, if I had to make a play for a guy I really want, like if John Idzik knows Golden Tate, and he has to, well, I mean, without my Notre Dame bias, if John Idzik says, listen, I know, like, I want this guy, if he has to go a little above and beyond to get a guy he really covets, I hope he pulls the trigger on it and sit back and say, you know what, it's out of our budget. But I guess my question for you is, if the Jets do indeed do that, would you be comfortable, and this is something we talked about last night, was, you know, would you be, instead of going for that Golden Tate, would you be okay with a Jason Avant and a Miles Austin combination, or guys like that that are clearly better than Clyde Gates and Stephen Hill, but may not be the big name that everybody's talking about for the last 2 months?
Right. No, I would be, because I think, this is one of the deepest wide receiver classes in a long time. So I think you could add a couple pieces in free agency. You can add a couple dynamic playmakers in the draft. But getting back to your original point there, that I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
No problem, John. Happens to me all the time.
I think
should
that,
John Idzik go out and get the? You know, should he go out and be aggressive
to
get these guys?
Right. No, I think that actually a point you made yesterday, Dennis, in the last show about you have cap space money to re-sign to re-sign the guys that you developed through the draft. I think that you got to take care of the guys like the Austin Howards first. And then go out and try to make your splash. I mean, we saw, like you said, again, we saw with the Dolphins, you can't just go out and buy free agents and win championships. So I think that, you know, especially in this day and age where you have guys going out with ACL injuries and left and right, I think you got to build depth. And I think the only way you could really build depth is by distributing the wealth, right? So you can't go back to the Tannenbaum days of tiers of your cap space, right, where you have a bunch of guys making a ton of money and then, a much larger group towards the bottom making nothing and you have no depth. So that's kind of what scares me. Well, I agree with you. I would, you know, if you can reach out and just pay somebody a little bit extra to get that guy, go for it. But I don't want to go out and set the market making all these big splashy moves when, you know, we don't have to.
All right, well, folks, we're talking to our friend John here. He got the call in from Germany. We kind of set this phone call up. We're going to one more topic, and we're going to wrap up, John, and we really appreciate you calling in from Germany and being a big fan of Jet Nation Radio. And here I'm going to put you in the GM seat. Congratulations, John. You're now John Idzik, okay? Congratulations. And here comes the draft. Now, try to be as realistic as possible. I know it's hard, but I'm going to give you the draft picks, okay? I'm going to give you the Jets' first-round pick at 18, no trading. You stay where you are. You stay at 18. You stay at 49, which is the second-round pick. It's 69 is the one from the Buccaneers, as long as Revis doesn't get traded, which is a whole other story before the 13th. But let's give you that. And then I believe it's 80, okay? So those are the two third-round picks, Jeff. So you have four picks. Now go ahead, fill in the blanks. Now, please don't put Jadeveon Clowney as your third-round pick, but do the best you can. And if you're John Idzik and you know a guy's out there and you be realistic, give me the four names and put them in their spots.
Well, I think I agree with you guys on best player available. I don't think Watkins or Mike Evans will be there at 18. I don't think Ebron will be there at 18. So I think the Jets are a team, like we've laid out, that have more than a couple needs. So I think if I would be happy with Marquise Lee.
Okay.
I think if a Ha Ha Clinton Dix is there, I would also take a look there. But I wouldn't go reaching for a fourth, fifth wide receiver on your board at 18 just because you need to fill that void. So for sake of argument, I'll say Marquise Lee at 18. Then I think you go out in the second round, and if you can address safety positions, say with a Calvin Pryor, maybe take a look. It might be a little – maybe an Austin Safarius Jenkins or – I doubt Jason Morrow would still be there, so maybe a little early for Troy Nicholas, although 6'7", 270, how can you not like that? So I think those are a couple options. I also think it's a pretty deep cornerback class, so you could take a look if maybe you got a guy like a Bradley Roby Falls, assuming maybe Cromartie gets cut and you don't sign him back. So I think you have some options at corner.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for sake of argument, we'll say
This ain't easy, is it, John? Huh? And you think
John
Lazy Gustav's easy?
No. I mean, you can you can mock these things all up, and I guess we'll have a clearer picture hopefully next week after free agency kicks off. But I don't know. There's so many ways you can go with this.
Well, you say Troy Nicholas. You want Troy? How about you take Roby, the cornerback, and you take Troy Nicholas as your third round pick at 69. So now you got one more pick, because I think Nicholas might fall into that 69. He might make it there. He might not. He might. So this is hypothetical. Who do you want at the last, the back of the third round? Give me a name there.
Dennis, if Nicholas is there at 69, I'll take a plane over to New York and run up to pick it myself.
Hold on a second. If Troy Nicholas is there at 69, that will be playing in John's head, guaranteed, because I found out that John is a big Notre Dame fan, and he'll love to have Troy Nicholas on the Jets. Okay, we got one more pick left. We got Roby the corner. We have Marquise Lee at 18. I know you laid out Haha Dix potentially as well. You got Roby the corner in the second round. You got Nicholas 69. We're kind of happy he fell there. Who do you got at 80?
I'd like to see. That's a good question. I think at some point you have to address, like we said, the guard position. I don't think a Gabe Jackson from Mississippi will be there.
Come on, he's a guard. He could definitely be there.
He could. At some point, you also have to get younger and more athletic at the outside linebacker position, right? I mean, assuming Pace is gone or they don't want to re-sign him, you got to address that position. So, I mean, there's a bunch of holes to fill. There's a lot of ways you can go here.
Hey, John, I got a question
for you. Go ahead, Tyson.
I got a question for John. Do you go quarterback? If there's a quarterback that falls, that's sitting there, I mean, I need Jimmy Garoppolo, anybody, somebody that's there that could be, hey, like, you know what, I think he's going to be here. We're in the third round. Do you pull a trigger on a quarterback?
I wouldn't hesitate, to be honest, Tyson. I think, you know, if you can get a Mettenberger or maybe even later in the draft get an Aaron Murray, or I've seen that the Jets have already met, I think, at the East-West and at the Combine with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I was looking through last year's actually to see of the guys that were drafted by the Jets, how many of them the Jets had met with, and they had met with all of them at least once, whether it be at the East-West or the Combine or their pro day. So it's a pretty good indicator of the guys that they interview or they visit with of whether or not they're going to take them. So I thought it was interesting that they met with Garoppolo twice. So I could see the Jets doing that, and I would not be against that because, you know, like you say all the time on the show, Tyson, I'm with you 100%. I'm all for competition. You know, bring in guys, and if the guys can't take it, if their psyches are too fragile, then, you know, that's their problem.
So do we have it? Do we have a winner now? Is it going to take Garoppolo if he falls to 80? Look, I know this is almost impossible to gauge. We're just throwing it out there for a little fun. So we have John's mock board. We have Marquise Lee. We have Roby. We have Troy Nicholas, and we have Jimmy Garoppolo. It doesn't sound bad to me, John. Congratulations, John, but now I have to demote you. You just took a big, huge pay cut. I'm sorry. You're no longer general manager of the New York Jets. But, John, listen,
well,
I want
God,
to thank you.
That's a tough job.
That is a tough job. But, John, listen, I want to thank you for calling in to Jet Nation Radio, being a big fan, being a big supporter of ours, listening every week, being over there in Germany. I also want to thank you for your service to our country when you were a Marine. We do appreciate it, and I know that a lot of the listeners on Jet Nation Radio have served in the armed forces before or currently serving and like to get their Jets news, you know, through alternative sources like this. They really don't have other ways to get it, and we appreciate the fact that they support us so strongly. And again, thank you so much, John, for calling in this afternoon. This will be played probably on the 11th show, and you'll be able to hear it then live. But like I'm saying, John, unfortunately, with the time change, we set up this special occasion to have him on. John, listen, it's been great having you on Jet Nation Radio this afternoon, and we really appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, I can't thank you guys enough for going out of your way to do this for me. It really means a lot. I mean, I listen to you guys every week. It's the highlight of my week. I think you guys do a phenomenal job. You obviously have a great fan base, so I just can't thank you enough. Go Jets.
Tyson?
John, yeah, John, thank you very much. And do me a favor, what is your Twitter handle, too? In case people want to interact with you and talk with you, talk Jet football, what's your Twitter handle?
Sure, it's at BPuck, P-U-C-K. I used to play hockey in college. BPuck1280.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, that absolutely, BPuck1280. Like, I know I tweeted you. If you ever have any, like, feedback you want to give us, you know, feel free to send tweets, send emails, and we'll do our best to cover on the show the following week.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks again, guys.
All right, John. Pleasure speaking to you. You take care now. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, well, that was John from Germany. We set that up special. I know it was a little dated, gang, and but, you know, John, he's a big fan, and we wanted to give him an opportunity to come on the air and get a chance to talk with us. So we were glad to have that. But now we want to bring in a regular caller here from the United States, and he actually lives in California at Long Beach, and it's Joe from Long Beach. But, Joe, before we have you talk about the Jets, you're a So welcome back, Joe, to Jet Nation Radio. It's a pleasure having you aboard. Dennis and Tyson here. So what do you got for us? And, you know, free agency, a little slow for the Jets so far. And what are you thinking?
All right. Thank you for welcoming me back. It's good to be back. I want to thank you guys again for having me on the show. What I'm thinking about is this. I think that Howard, I really feel like we're overrating him a little bit. I feel like he's pretty much an average right tackle at best. I feel like he may garner some attention from some teams, but I don't feel like he's going to get a mind-blowing deal from anyone. I feel like we can still go after him if we need to, but he's a mix-and-match guy. We can go get another right tackle for him, you know, just in case he were to go, you know, Anthony Collins or something like that, just Jason Fox, just somebody that is average as well, but we can mix and match and plug in. And I don't think we have to necessarily go blow the bank on Austin to do that. I think we can actually draft a guy that I like, and I know he's going to go crazy for him because he's out of Notre Dame, is Zach Martin. I think if we draft Zach Martin in the first, or even if he slides to the second, I think that's a guy that we can bring in that would be actually really, really good.
Joe, well, first of all, Joe, it's great to hear from you, man. I love talking to you. I'm not obviously a Notre Dame guy. You know me. I'm never going to say no to that. But I kind of agree with you. I mean, I think personally that Austin Howard's going to get a big deal from the Raiders and kind of just he's going to be gone. And there, like you said, there's other guys out there. I mean, the Jets have been associated with Zach Street. There's other guys out there. I do agree with you there. If I think, honestly, if the Jets draft an offensive lineman in the first round, I think the Jets fans will probably burn down the building.
Why not?
I think that depending on how free agency goes, wide receivers and tight ends and the desperate need to add playmakers, I think most are going to want to see the Jets go that. But I guess, Joe, my question for you, this is kind of a hot topic we started the show with, and I was dying to get your take on this. What's your thoughts on Mike Vick?
Oh, I don't want to have anything to do with him, to be honest. I feel like it would hurt Geno because from what I remember listening to interviews and things like that, and Geno talk about Mike Vick and Mike Vick being like his idol. I don't know if Geno would be. I wouldn't say starstruck by him. That might hurt him. I don't know about Mike Vick's cap numbers either. From what I hear, he wants to be a starter. He wants, you know, the upwards of the starter money. So I don't know if we can actually afford him. I'd rather have another quality backup outside of Mike Vick.
Okay, well, yeah, actually, it's funny you say that because we had Joe Corey on last week, and he said the same thing about Geno. He goes, he had concerns about Mike Vick and Geno being starstruck to the point where it's like you're kind of just sitting there waiting him. I mean, me personally, I want nothing to do with Josh McCown. I'm not paying $5 million a year for a guy that's been surrounded by an all-star cast and had five big games. So who are some guys, I mean, are you looking at maybe a Tavares Jackson, a Sean Hill? Like, what's a guy that makes you kind of interested?
You named exactly who I was about to say, Tavares Jackson. I think Tavares Jackson could be a solid backup for us. And he's also mobile. And with our offensive line issues, that's exactly what we need. I feel like if we go get a guy that stands back there, I have no clue why we have not cut Mark yet, but that's a whole nother talk. But I think that Tavares is would be pretty much a perfect fit, a guy that could come in. He'd be a solid guy. He's got a decent arm, and we can put him in there, and he can do, you know, things just in case Geno falters.
Yeah, well, I think the Jets aren't going to cut Sanchez. I mean, Dennis has been ranting about this for a while because his bonus isn't due to the 25th. They still have some wiggle time. But if you bring in a guy like Tavares Jackson, this is my biggest gripe with this whole process. Are you considering it an open competition, or are you saying this is Geno's job, you're taking backup reps? How do you handle that?
I would consider it an open competition, because competition would pull the best out of Geno. And I think that's what happened last year, where it really wasn't much of an open competition after Mark got hurt. It was, hey, this is his job, and that's it. And you stuck him in there, and he would make these mistakes, and he would falter as a rookie, and he would just go downhill in certain games, and there was nobody you could bring in that would be, you know, on point and better than what he brought in. So I would make it an open competition, just like anything every year, and pull the best out of those players and let them know, hey, and I would have open competition at every position, letting you know, hey, you got to earn your spot here, point blank, period.
All right, Joe, listen, I got a question for you, and we were talking a little bit about this earlier. I want to get your perspective on it. Lamar Woodley or DeMarcus Ware, one of those guys. Ware is probably going to cost you a little bit more than Woodley. I think you could use Woodley a little bit with Pace. I know Pace is still out there. I really don't see where he's going. But would you be interested in bringing in a guy like a Lamar Woodley, $18 million over 3 years, $6 million guaranteed? Do you think he could play like a situational pass rusher role, be a, you know, depth guy if there was an injury or something? Would you be interested in that, or do you think just, hey, look, I'll take my chances in the draft, even if it's a later-round developmental guy, rather than going with the veteran? What would you do if you were John Idzik?
I was absolutely excited when the Cowboys cut DeMarcus Ware. I know you were saying Lamar Woodley. I want DeMarcus Ware on this team so bad. I was hoping the Cowboys cut him. I was hoping he'd be a cap casualty, and he was. So I would definitely go after a guy like DeMarcus Ware. I feel like DeMarcus Ware is a better player than Lamar Woodley, a better pass rusher than Lamar Woodley even at this point. So I would definitely go after him. But if it costed too much, it was just too much money, where it was just, you know, these guys, you know, because John is a cheapskate, which is awesome. He's a guy that's kind of bargain shop. And I feel like if DeMarcus was a bargain at the number that he wants to bring in, then okay, fine. If not, then fine. We can go to the draft and find a pass rusher, because there's a couple guys that can pass rush in the draft. But you just cannot pass up a talent like DeMarcus Ware. I mean, that guy's just amazing. He's honestly a future Hall of Famer. And to bring a guy in like that with what we already have, we'd be so deadly, it'd be ridiculous. But I have a question. I have a question to ask you guys. I've been looking at this guy named Kelvin Benjamin, 6'5 kid from Florida. I mean, he's huge. And I know we talk about the tight end position all the time and how it's very thin in the draft. And this kid's a wide receiver. He's 6'5", and he's 240, and I've watched him play. He's going to – at the next level in the NFL, he may have issues with separation at wide receiver. But I think if we bring this kid in, and we can get him in the second or third round, guaranteed, he's not going to go in the first. If we can bring him in and teach him how to block just a little bit, because he can block, but teach him how to block just a little bit from that line, I think this kid could be a sleeper at tight end, and we could switch his position from wide receiver to tight end, and he could be very productive from that position.
That's an interesting take, man. I mean, we had Ron Pickett on, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, and he had an interesting take on Benjamin as well. I mean, I'm not opposed to anything like that. When you have size and ability like that, you try to maximize your resource. But I guess, Joe, my question for you is this, and this is something that Dennis and I kind of go back and forth about, is some of these guys that have been recently cut, like a Miles Austin or an Owen Daniels, they've had some proven, you know, they've proven themselves over the last couple of years, but they've been hampered by injuries. So now whenever you mention Miles Austin, like, hamstring injuries, or Owen Daniels, you know, he's been hurt 3 of the last 5 years. But for me, it's like these guys, at some point you have to assess the risk and reward. If it's, you know, low risk, high reward potential, at what point do you make a play and say, hey, you know what, let's give this guy a shot? I mean, he's better if he's healthy, he's better than what we have. Like, at what point do you say, you know what, let's give this guy a shot?
I would say if the point is you have to look at his injuries, like, in general. You have to look, okay, what kind of injuries has he suffered? Does he have a history of missing? You know, Owen Daniels, from what I remember, and I looked into him a little bit. I've seen him play as well out there in Houston. He wasn't injured that often in his career. So when you look, was it knick-knack stuff? Was it big stuff like ACL tears? Was, you know, you know, was he rupturing things? If it was nothing like that, then you can get an Austin Daniels. You can get, you know, like you said, I would take a flyer on Miles Austin. He hasn't been productive, as productive as he was, say, maybe four years ago. But he's been decent. But he's just been banged up a little bit. Austin Owens as well, I would take a flyer on as well. But as long as it's nothing like huge, as far as like huge with his injury history, then I would definitely take a flyer on a guy. Another guy I want to take a flyer on, especially, is Darren Sproles. I don't know why the Saints cut him, but I feel like he's the guy as far as matchups, because this is a matchup league now. It is what it is. If we can get him, he's almost impossible to cover. Almost impossible to cover. Can't put a back on him. He's going to outrun him. Your third corner, he's going to have above-average cover skills to cover a guy like Sproles. I think Sproles is a guy that we definitely need to go after in free agency, if not just for the fact that he's a change-up back, where he could be that speed back, just a guy that we can take out, you know, split him out wide, and he'd just be a nightmare out there, almost like a Reggie Bush, pretty much.
Well, thank you, Joe. You just made Tyson's night, because before I was arguing with him that we don't really need Sproles. And Sproles is still with the Saints. They haven't cut him yet. They might cut him. They're looking to trade him. I'm not opposed to bringing Darren Sproles in. Again, everything comes down to price tag and things like that. And getting to the injuries, I mean, again, if you get some injury protection or you get some things in the contract, people always say to me, like I said, Jerome Simpson, well, he's got off-the-field issues. I understand that. That's why you're getting him at a bargain. Miles Austin has injuries. That's why you're going to get him at a bargain. You know, it depends how you structure the contract. Let's say Miles Austin, you give him a certain base salary, and then you give him a per-game roster bonus. I mean, if he doesn't play, then he doesn't get a certain portion of his salary. You know, you can structure contracts in a lot of different ways, and these guys, they don't have a ton of leverage. And you know what? Jeff fans are kind of bipolar. They're like, well, we need more offensive skill players. We need playmakers. We need this. We need that. And you throw names out there, and it's like, oh, he has this. He has this baggage. He has that. Too much money. Well, you know what? Maybe this is why John Idzik isn't – maybe John Idzik's been on Twitter, and he just feels like any move he makes will be wrong. Because if you go on Twitter, any move you make is wrong. You know, no matter what you do, you're wrong. Look, the Jets are going to do this. John Idzik is a patient man. I talked about it before. They're going to find themselves some quality free agents that fit their system, whether it's a stopgap guy, a longer-term guy. They're going to use their draft, and they're going to develop. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to let Geno Smith go out there and prove that he's the guy, because it doesn't matter what happens here. If number 7 regresses, I don't care if you bring Michael Vick, Josh McCown, Kellen Clemens, or any of these guys in. None of these guys out there have a pedigree, or even Mark Sanchez, who's not staying with the Jets. None of these guys have a pedigree. None of these guys are taking the promised land. It's got to be Geno. If it's not Geno, put the Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota watch on for the Jets. Rex Ryan is fired, and you know what? You're going into the next year with a big question mark at quarterback. It's all going to come down to, for the most part, how number 7 performs. But, Joe, listen, we got to wrap up. It's getting late, but we really appreciate you calling in. We haven't heard from you in a few weeks. I thought maybe that you didn't like us anymore, that you forgot when we were here, but we're so glad that we got you to come back on Jet Nation Radio tonight.
Thank you guys again. I never forgot about you guys. I just was super busy and couldn't get on, kept having shifts during the show. But I want to thank you guys again just for having me on. It just feels so good to come back and just talk Jets with you.
Well, Joe, listen, I'm glad you have a life that doesn't revolve around us, because my life basically revolves around reading the CBA, and I'll tell you, it's quite a boring life. But you know what? That's what I enjoy doing. Joe, you take care. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, buddy?
All right. Same to you guys. Thank you guys again.
All right, bye now. All right, well, that was our buddy Joe from Long Beach. He flies out for one game every year at MetLife Stadium. Big Jet fan in Long Beach, California. And he had a lot of interesting things to say. I know, Tyson, you're grinning ear to ear about the Darren Sproles thing. And look, I still think the Jets have a lot of options. I know that the fans are probably worried, why aren't they spending this money? And you know what? They're going to spend X amount of dollars. John Idzik has laid out a budget for this year, next year, and next year. He's looking at, okay, who can I cut and where can I save? Who do I have to renegotiate with? Who do I have to extend? I mean, this is the way it works. This money is not just meant for this year. It's meant to be stretched out over a 3 to 4 year period to put the team in position. If they got to cut a guy and take some dead money on, hey, we can do it. We want to go out and be a free agent, hey, we can do it. We want to extend a guy, now's a good time to do it, we can do it. That's what the money is meant for. But it was really good to hear from Joe Tyson because he is a big fan and a very knowledgeable fan.
Yeah, no, I always enjoy talking to Joe because he always has a different perspective and he always shares some good insight. And Dennis, you're right. I mean, at some point, we've got to trust John Idzik. He has his board, you know, like the draft. He's got a free agent board with all these guys ranked with value, and he's got to go by his board. You know, instead of going after Jairus Byrd, you go after Clemens. I mean, instead of going after Eric Decker, you go after, I don't know, James Jones. I mean, there's guys still out there. It's not panic mode yet. I mean, you sit there and watch NFL Network, and it seems like every player is going somewhere else. It's never the Jets, unless it's Vic mentioned. But it's interesting, man. He's got to have faith in Idzik. I mean, he was everybody's genius heading into today, so I'm not going to press the panic button yet.
No, me neither. I still think, again, JaMychal Finley out in Seattle. I think Seattle just also signed another lesser-named tight end. So I really think Zach Miller is definitely a possibility. You know, let's see how that goes. But we got one more caller that we had from Europe, our friend Stuart from Scotland, and we set it up during the week. And, again, it's a little dated because of what happened. But Stuart's a big fan from Scotland. Obviously, he can't listen live. So we gave him an opportunity to call in, and we gave him some time like we gave John. And we're going to play him now. This is why we made the show a little bit longer tonight, to fit these guys in as well, and also to get the topics in with free agency. So he's from Scotland. He's got a little bit of an accent, or maybe we have an accent to him. But he's a great fan. He's on Twitter. He gives his Twitter handle. I'm going to play his call right now, and he was very appreciative to get on. So let's play him, and then we're going to wrap the show up after Slim's call here. Hey, Jet Nation. Well, we have a caller on the line, a very special caller to us, and it's Stuart from Scotland. He actually lives just outside of Edinburgh, but he goes by Slim on Twitter. So we're gonna call him Slim, and we kind of set this up pre-recorded because – you know, Slim's a big fan of the show, very supportive of us, and since he lives in Scotland, it's almost impossible for him to call in live. So we wanted to give him an opportunity to come on and discuss the New York Jets. You know, being overseas and being a Jets fan, it's great. We love the international flavor. So Slim, Dennis Agapito, and Tyson Roush here at Jet Nation Radio, we really appreciate you calling in and giving your perspective on our New York Jets. So what do you got for us?
I really appreciate the time you're giving me, guys. This is brilliant. I'd like to talk a wee bit about free agents. I'd maybe like to see us at least dip into what kind of holes we've got that we could fill, stuff like that.
I mean, Quinn, I guess my first question for you is going to be, you know, we've been talking about receivers, quarterbacks, everything else, so I'll start out with the quarterbacks. Do you want to bring in a quarterback to be competition with Geno, or do you want to bring a quarterback that's going to be a backup to Geno?
I've heard you two go on about this quite a lot. I'm more on Dennis's side here, Tyson. I want somebody to come in as more of a support role for Geno, because I feel that the kid's got it. I really do. I felt that he was starting to learn from his mistakes, cut out of the turnovers. He had four drives in important games that just made me think this kid's got something, you know. Second season in the hot seat for him. I really do think this is a kid for us, like yourself.
So, I mean, would you rather go, I mean, here's a great name that Dennis loves to throw around there. Would you like to go a David Garrard type instead of, like, a Jason Campbell? Are you looking to a guy that's a veteran guy that can be a mentor, but you're hoping never sees the field? Is that the kind of guy you want?
Going back with Garrard would be all right for me. I mean, I've not got a problem, and I also like the sound, is it McGivern for the Bears?
McCown.
Josh McCown.
Yeah, McCown, that's it. Maybe sniffing that lad out, get him in, because he's, but when he came in, he looked the business. Plus, he's quite happy about playing second fiddle, you know. So, somebody like him would interest me as well. But aye, Garrard, I wouldn't be against bringing him back. Definitely not.
All right, Slim. Well, everyone knows we're talking to Slim. He's from Scotland. I want to ask you a personal question first before we get into more about the free agency. How did you become a Jet fan, you know, being over in Scotland? I know that football, quote-unquote, the football, the world's football, but how did you become an American football fan and a Jets fan in particular?
My soccer team, it's Hibernian Football Club. It's an Edinburgh-based team. and they play in the green and white, my whole family, my granddad, my dad, me, my son, even my wife's got season ticket holders, you know. We bleed the green and white. I've always liked NFL football. I've got sort of, there's something about New York. I've always liked it. I mean, it's top of my bucket list to go and do is go and visit New York. So it was an easy pick for us. I like NFL football. New York was the place to be for me. I turned 40 this year, and if we had the money, we were going to come and do the big New York tour and stuff, but just didn't have the penny, so we couldn't afford it. We'd done the next best thing and went to Ireland, but that's by the by. It was a no-brainer for me. Green and white, New York, it had to be the Jets. It was a no-brainer for me, yeah.
Well, that's great. You know, Slim, we would love to have you over here. And certainly, if you do come over for a game, you are more than welcome to hang out with Tyson. And not that I don't want to hang out with you, because I'm boring. Tyson's fun. I'm boring.
Section L7, Tyson, I believe, is that?
Yeah. Tyson will be there, L7. He's the man over there. He's like the mayor. He's the mayor over there, the parking lot. He runs the whole parking lot. I'm like, I don't even know what I am. I'm like the garbage man. That's what I am. He's the mayor. I'm the garbage man. So if you want to have a good time at the game, hang out with Tyson. You'll have a great time. But let's get back into the Jets. Let's get back into a little bit of free agency here. Now, wide receiver is obviously a need for the Jets. You know, Jet fans are a little bipolar, and I want to get your opinions. I'm not saying you're bipolar, but I keep hearing this, you know, we need to get a receiver. And a guy I like is Manuel Sanders. And I heard a lot of people say, well, he's only 5'11", he's not a number one, what about the money, this and that. I mean, I don't know why him being 5'11 precludes him from being a – go ahead. What do you think of Manuel Sanders, for example, as the potential Jet in this offense and how he would fit?
Yeah, I apologize for talking over top of you, Dennis.
No problem.
Sanders for me, all the names that are up there at the moment in free agency, I think we need to get somebody, a stud, somebody like that. A Sanders would be top. I would even take a wee, I know it might sound a bit naughty to you guys, but even a Hakeem Nicks for the Giants. Kenny's not done much for them the last season and a half. But, I mean, he's got something about him as well. I would even, Golden Tate, maybe even take a wee punt at him as well. You know, I do believe we need to bring somebody in. It needs to go and pull a stud from the free agency and the wide receiver position, like somebody that Geno can rely on, you know.
Yeah, and I think the reason why the Jets made this cap space wasn't necessarily to go out and blow it and overpay for guys, but, I mean, look, free agents, they cost you more money than draft picks, et cetera. I mean, that's when they become the free agents and they're going into their second contract, you know you're going to pay X amount. Now, look, John Edwards is a pretty smart guy, and he knows what his budget's going to be and what a guy is worth, but here's the fact. If he goes to Marty Morningwig, and Marty Morningwig says, I love this player, he fits our offense perfectly, set a budget for him, and they're right there, and they're competitive, and they can sweeten the pot to get that player in, then they should definitely look at getting that player in. Another thing I want to get into is tight end, because we've been discussing this a lot.
Yeah.
The tight end market's a little thinner than the wide receiver market. You might get a couple cap casualties, and I like to say that in wide receivers you have A, B, and C type guys that you could bring in.
Yeah.
But at tight end right now, I mean, Dennis Pitta just got a really big contract, $32 million over 5 years, $16 million guaranteed. You have guys like Jamichael Finley, Brandon Pettigrew, maybe even a Scott Chandler. These guys are going to cost you a lot of money.
Thank
and
God.
Here's a name that was thrown out by Joel Curry, and I wanted to get your opinion on him. Zach Miller from the Seattle Seahawks might be a cap casualty. He might be able to get you know, picked up by the Jets for less money than these other guys. Fill a role, you draft a tight end, and you bring back Cumberland. What do you think about that philosophy moving forward to get your production out of the tight end position instead of saying, go for Jamichael Finley and hope that his neck holds up?
For me, that's the way to go. Maybe even body swerving free agency for a tight end and then filling our boots with our number one pick at the tight end position. Maybe go for an Eric Ebron. Somebody like that, you know, a stud in the draft for it. I definitely would bring Cumberland back. I think, although I wouldn't call him a stud, he's definitely done a job for us, and I think it would be ideal for us to bring him back as well. especially with, as you're saying, the price that the tight ends are going for at the moment. A lot of money in free agency, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
I was going to ask you guys something as well here, maybe about the safety position. Devon Landry last year was like a poor imitation for me, his brother, the season before. I think safety is definitely a weak position for us if we have one in the defence. We've got just today that Champ Bailey's been released for the Broncos, and he's even said that he'd be quite happy to move into a safety position. What would you think about maybe Izik testing the water, seeing if he could bring Champ in? I think he would do the damage for us at safety.
That's an interesting question, Slim, because I know that Bailey's always been a tremendous athlete, tremendous cover guy. But for me, I mean, if I'm going to bring in a Champ Bailey, I'd bring back Ed Reed. I'm looking for younger options.
I'm for him as well, by the way, definitely, because look at the difference that happened with Dee Milner when Rex brought Ed Reed into the fold. Milner come on leaps and bounds when they brought Reed in.
The biggest feedback with Ed Reed was that, you know, while he had his interceptions the last couple of games, it was his film study, his work ethic that rubbed off on all these guys. The issue with bringing back him is I still want to get younger and I want to get a better player back there. The problem with that is if you want a Jarris Bird or T.J. Ward, they want to be the highest paid safeties in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for you is, even if you bring Ed Reed back as a safety blanket, would you want to bring in a Jarris Bird and pay him as the highest safety in the NFL?
Well, aye. Bird, definitely. I mean, that's the one that's been lighting up Twitter now with a lot of the Jets fans, eh? Aye. And he's young enough. What is he, 26, 27, is he?
Yes.
Well, ideal. But how much are you looking at? Is that maybe about 8, 9 mil?
Yep. This is what you're looking at. This is what his deal's going to be. It probably gets him in the door. We had Joel Corey on the other night. I don't know if you heard the show, but I'm going to tell you right now. 5 years, $45 million, $25 million guaranteed at least. Maybe that guaranteed number may even sneak up a little bit, and the big number might sneak up with some incentives. But I say $45 million, $25 million guaranteed gets him in here. And you know what? That would make him the highest paid safety on average and certainly would give him the comfort of the guaranteed money. Apparently, he turned down an offer, this was reported, that would have paid him $30 million over the first 3 years of the contract from the Bills. But again, who knows what the structure was as far as the guarantees go, and maybe that's why he turned that down. So, I mean, again, there's always this risk-reward, money versus talent, and you know, does it work out, does it not work out? Would you be interested in that contract? If you knew that contract sealed the deal, would you do it for the Jets right now?
Ken, it sounds a lot of money, eh? It does, definitely.
Yeah.
But
you're John Izzy. Congratulations. You got to make the decision, so.
By his age and with a chance for him to work underneath Rex, you know what? I think I would maybe go for him, eh? Even at that kind of cash. Because he's going to fill a hole for a few years, like, you know. You're going to have somebody in that safety position who is an absolute stud. So I probably would. I would probably go for him, eh? Yourself? What would you think? What would you, Tyson?
Ooh, you know what? He's a game-breaking safety and a guy that Rex Ryan desperately wants in his defense. You can make a case for both sides. I mean, it's a big splash, you know. And Dennis, I'm not completely going to say this, but I think I'd do it as well. I mean, that's the safety they've been needing for the last 5 years.
Yep.
You know what else I think they need too, and I'm going to ask Slim about this as well. Is that, look, I mean, we all looked at Jason Worlds, he's gone. Brian Arakpo, he's gone. I think, you know, Calvin Pace will hopefully bring back, and then maybe like a Kyle Van Noy or someone in the second round, a guy who can rush the passer. The Jets had a pretty decent pass rush this year, better than it's been, but it fades a little bit down the stretch. And I think they need an outside linebacker guy, a young guy who can develop behind Pace, because you know what, your best way to stop a great quarterback is pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Now, with that said, one quick point. 2012, the Jets were second in the league against the pass, and they weren't nearly as good against the run as they were this year. But They did have Leron Landry and Jeremiah Bell playing safety, and no Darrell Revis, remember. Was it Kyle Wilson? Kyle Wilson and Cromartie were playing with the starting
corners. Cole was playing like a stud as well. He was the number one man in that defense that year.
Yeah, but you know what? I think having the good safeties there, I mean, again, look at a team like Seattle. I mean, they have Earl Thomas, and they have Cam Chancellor, and they have Sherman, and they had Browner for a while before he got suspended. I mean, you know what? Let's have four guys who Milner came on. Let's hope we get the production out of him this year like we got towards the end of 2013. Hopefully Cromartie is back. I hope Cromartie is back because I like the continuity, and I believe that he was hurting. And you know what? If you get a mixed bag of 2012 and 13, I'll take it for one more year, given the fact that he knows the defense. You improve that safety position, and you know what? Get one more pass rusher in there. This defense, really, they can bring down that rating, which was 22nd against the pass, and I think that that's important as far as the defense goes. But obviously, the biggest concern on this team is the offense. And you know what? Like I said, the Jet fans are a little bipolar. Well, I want playmakers, but I don't want this guy. I don't want this guy. I don't want this guy. You know what? We're going to have to look to the draft. Now, you mentioned Ebron. Now, are there anybody else in the draft that you really like? I did this yesterday with John, who we spoke to from Germany, and I gave him four draft picks. The four draft picks the Jets are probably going to have, rounds 1, 2, and 3, the two they have in round 3. Now, fill them in. Don't make any trades. It's going to be 18, 49, 69, and 80. And try to be realistic. Don't put Jabadie and Clowney at 80. But do your best. I don't care if you think, male, maybe this guy might go because no one really knows. Fill in the blanks with the players that you like and why.
As in who I would like us to pick at the positions?
Each one of those picks. So say at 18, you say, I want Marquise Lee. I'm just throwing a name out there. Second round, you know, if you can think of a guy, I mean, obviously you can't say, I want Jadeveon Clowney, he won't be there. But I know it's hard to think, well, maybe the guy, because yesterday the guy said Calvin Pryor, who's a safety out of Louisville, and he probably won't be there, but maybe he will. So do your best to fill in the blanks.
I would definitely go for a tight end as our first pick, because I don't think they're going to get a tight end in free agency for much cheapness, especially if you're going to be going for like a guy like Bird and spending mad money on him. So, Ebron, definitely. What's his kid's name? The wide receiver, Cooks, is it?
For which wide receiver from where? Like Marquise Lee or... What you know what school he goes to?
Oh, I'm not even sure. See, this is the part.
Mike Evans. Sammy Watkins will never fall to 18. He is the best guy. You got Mike Evans. Jordan Matthews is the guy out of Vanderbilt who's, you know, kind of flying up boards. Marquise Lee's out of USC. He's a wide receiver. You're talking about wide receiver, correct?
Brandon Cook, sorry, for the Oregon State, the kid for Oregon State.
Oh yeah, Brandon Cooks. Okay, so is that your pick at 18?
Him or Ebron definitely.
Him or Ebron 18. Okay, we're gonna go to 49 now. So you got to pick at 49. Who do you like? Take your best shot. I know people are gonna say, oh, that guy's not gonna be available, but take your best shot. Who do you like? Who do you think?
Again, it was a wide receiver, or maybe on a who would be going in at the end.
Make him sweat, Dennis.
The kid for Florida State, Benjamin.
Benjamin, okay. Calvin Benjamin could be there. You never know. Again, so you like Calvin Benjamin. Okay, so you're going to take, let's say you take Ebron first, you take Benjamin. So now we're going to go into the third round. I know it gets a little harder because you got to really know the draft and stuff. But so you got a tight end, you got a receiver. Now, do you want to look maybe how about just name a position? Two positions in the third round since names are hard to come by. Give me the two positions you would pick with your third round picks.
Now I'm really treading water. I'm not too sure, but it would tough to be on the offensive line. Give Gino a chance to throw the ball. Make sure he's got a pocket there to throw for. So have you guys got any names you could throw at me? Offensive line, you'd be interested in at that?
Gabe Jackson from Michigan State. He's a guard. He might be available in the third round.
Okay, I'll go for that.
Hey Slim, Slim, before you answer your second pick, here's a question for you. Now, you're John Idzik, and you've already professed earlier in this call that you're a Geno Smith guy, kind of. What if one of the quarterbacks drops to the third round? You have a Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody sitting there in the third round. With this second pick, are you taking quarterbacks?
No, definitely not.
You are Geno for life.
Nah, straight up. Nah, I'm not doing with Geno like, definitely. Geno and get somebody in as a mentor type character for him. And if there's any quarterbacks in the later rounds, maybe aye. But I would definitely go for offensive weapons and people to keep the pressure off him with first picks, definitely. Although that's me saying that. I mean, I was listening to you guys going on about what happens if there's a defensive player. Ken Idzik's looking at his board and there's a defensive player there that's a stud and it's coming up for our pick. Would you be against that? And then, no, wouldn't it? No, if it was the best player at that pick. If it was a defensive player, I'd be happy for him to take it, you know? I mean, look what
we've got. You know what, Slim, here's what people don't understand about the draft. I'm sorry, Slim. I'm sorry. Here's what people don't understand about the draft. You only get one number one pick. And that pick's got to be, you hope, a stud. Has to be, you hope, a stud. If they're just mediocre and you pass on a stud because you reach for somebody, you know, like when they drafted Sheldon Richardson last year, a lot of Jet fans went, ugh, who? Now they're thrilled. So
I'm going to be honest. See, when we picked them up, well, I'm like that with most college football because I didn't see much of it here, right enough, eh? But it wasn't a name that people were talking about. So when it come up, and you seen the reaction in the kind of the crowd that was there, you're like, oh, what? But, I mean, have a look at the kid. He's an absolute beast. Probably my standout player last season. The kid was unbelievable, right, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Listen, we're gonna kind of wrap up. We're going to ask you one more question, and we're going to wrap up this phone call. And it's just based about Austin Howard. Now, you know, there's some rumors floating out there. He wants $7 million per. I don't think he's going to get it. I think the Jets ultimately re-sign him. Look, if they got to pay a hair over whatever, if they got to pay a little bit more than they were expecting, they developed Austin Howard. They gave him the 2 years as a starter. He's a very serviceable right tackle in this league. Look at a lot of the right tackles. If you're John Idzik, do you make it a priority? Obviously, you're not breaking the bank, but do you make it a priority to get Austin Howard back in the door?
Definitely, I'd bring him back. Yeah, no doubt. I thought he was, again, one of our better players. No doubt, I would definitely try and keep him as a Jet, no doubt.
All right, Tyson, you want to just say our goodbyes to Slim? We really appreciate him calling in. We're glad that we got a chance to get him on air. Like we said, we got a couple people that are over in Europe there, big fans of the show. We appreciate the support, and we want to get them a chance to call in and give their views because, you know, here's can you imagine if I was like a I don't know if I'm blaspheming here, but saying I was a Manchester United fan, and there was some Manchester United show that took place in Scotland that I wish I could call and talk to. So we're really glad to have Slim come on. So, Tyson, do you want to say goodbyes to Slim?
Yeah, Slim, thank you for taking the time to call in. Thank you for all the tweets. And you sent us a lot of tweets. You sent us a lot of good information. But so thank you. It was great talking to you. And can you do me a favor? Can you give out your Twitter handle so all our followers can now become your followers?
No problem. It's at JetSlim. That's it. Easy peasy. And just before I go, guys, can I just say that, I live in Scotland, and I'm not immersed in other papers didn't have NFL football and stuff like that in them. And it's shows like yours that give me all the info that I need for my team, you know. Obviously, I've got the NFL Game Pass, and that's like my season ticket to watch my Jets. But if it wasn't for your show and shows like it, I'd be toiling to hear anything about my Jets. So, and I'd just like to add that Dennis and Tyson, you guys are probably the most professional sounding, fan-led show. It's awesome. You really are. I really, really appreciate what you do for us.
Well, Slim, thank you very much for the compliment. We appreciate people like you because without people like you who, you know, tweet out our shows, gets the word out for us, we wouldn't have the downloads and the listens and the callers that we get. So we appreciate the support you give us, and we're glad that we're able to give you information on your New York Jets. you know, being far away, you don't get the things that we get here on a daily basis, and it's got to be tough sometimes to get the information. So we really appreciate the support, and we're glad that we're bringing you a quality product and that you're happy with it. Slim, it's been our pleasure having you on Jet Nation Radio this afternoon. Have a good day.
Guys, you have been awesome. I appreciate it.
All right. You take care now, Slim. Bye now.
You take care, guys. Catch you later. See you, Tyson. Bye.
See you, Slim.
All right. Well, that was our friend Slim there who called in from Scotland, and we had a few more minutes. Actually, Tyson and I, we kind of set this up to be a little bit longer this show on purpose because we knew we had a couple of those callers, and we gave them a little more time because I doubt they may even get another chance to call in this year. So, you know, maybe they can down the line, but we wanted to give an opportunity to get a chance to talk with us for a decent amount of time. But we also knew we had a lot of things to cover. And one of the things that's going on right now, Tyson, that maybe is interesting to you is that Michael Vick apparently has hit a snag with the Jets because he's been told that he's not going to be the starter necessarily, and he's not happy about it.
Hey, Dennis, I got a better question. Can Kamari come back and play safety?
Well, Jairus Byrd got signed. Althon Vernon got signed for about $6 million per. I mean, like $26 million. And apparently, the Jets were never really in the ballpark. And you know, I had heard that the Jets were in the Vontae David sweepstakes, but the Colts sweetened the deal and got him back. And you know, look, I could feel the panic in Jet Nation. We only have a few minutes left here. We'll try to finish up. But Tyson, I feel the panic in Jet Nation. I feel the panic. And but with the Buccaneers signing Vernon, the Buccaneers are looking to sign is it Andrew Collins now? Now they're looking to sign Andrew Collins, and you know it's like they're signing guys left and right, so they're going to have to dump Darrell Revis' salary. Here's why, but I'm starting to wonder now. I mean, I thought it was probably maybe a long shot for Revis to come back. I'm starting to think maybe it's not so much of a long shot given all the things that have gone on. And Vernon didn't sign for very much money. I know Sam Shields and Davis did, but Vernon didn't, and he probably had. He had a very nice statistical year last year.
Yeah, I'm shocked by his numbers, to be honest with you. I mean, we have Henry just tweeting back and forth. You know, he showed me the numbers. I'm like, wow, I definitely thought he'd get more than that. So now you're basically down to, what, Aqib Talib, Walter Thurman, Captain Marlin maybe, and then who? Revis. I mean, Dennis, I kind of laughed at the notion initially, and now it's like this could be a distinct possibility. I mean, and now based on the numbers that are being handed out, they're nowhere near the ballpark that he's used to, so in theory, his price tag should come down. So it's got to be, you know, it's got to be consideration. And then in terms of safety, I mean, other than Clemens from the Dolphins, I mean, I'm not really sure where you go. I mean, we keep saying use the draft as a resource, but we only have so many draft picks, and there's no guarantees in the draft. So it's getting very, very interesting. I mean, John Idzik's sitting back. He's waiting. He's kind of, you know, letting the market play out, but it's kind of curious to see all these names go flying off the board right now.
All right. I mean, I'm just going to say this, and I'm probably going to upset some people who are Giant fans. The Giants beat the Patriots, our nemesis, twice in the Super Bowl. They beat an undefeated team. I mean, what garbage did they have in their secondary? I mean, Kenny Phillips? I don't know who they have. Aaron Ross? Corey Webster? I mean, what they have back there? Antrell Roll? I mean, look, come on. Look, Tyson, it comes down to this. Rex has got to put a front seven up there. He had a good one last year. If he can improve that front seven, that pass rush, that's going to make up for your deficiencies in the secondary. I'm not saying don't go out. Look, a Chris Clemens, I think, would be fine. I think a Chris Clemens would be fine.
Hold on,
go out and draft Jimmy Ward.
Dennis, hold on. Your numbers, you're my guy numbers.
Okay.
Now, based on everything we know, what kind of contract do you offer Darrell Revis if he's a free agent?
5 years, $55 million, $25 million guaranteed. That makes him the highest paid, $11 million per, makes him the highest paid. He gets guaranteed money, and that's it. He gets his $25 million guaranteed, and that's it. You know what? You know something about Darrell Revis? Just so everybody knows this. In 2011, Darrell Revis was paid $25 million by the New York Jets for one season. That's what he got, cash in hand. The New York Jets do not owe Darrell Revis a thing. And you know what? There's a lot of these guys on the radio, real radio, because we're just amateur internet radio guys, who screamed and yelled about Woody Johnson being cheap and this and that and da-da-da and what a terrible trade. And so many people said this trade was terrible. And look at how wonderful it's worked out for the Jets thus far. Just imagine if Revis comes back at a fair price. I'd be fine with that contract. Fine. He comes back under that contract, put him in there, and he has his rehab year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you have Sheldon Richardson and a fourth-round pick, and you've now cleared out all the money that he had spread out in his contract. It's unconscionable to think of what a dumb move this is for the Buccaneers. People should be killing them. Here's the thing that bothers me the most. I'm going to kind of get into this real quick. The Revis thing, because everybody killed the Jets about, and you know, Revis was on NFL Network and tweeting out and all this other stuff and all these things. And you know what? The Mo Wilkerson option. If I read one more time that the Jets are doing something like dirty-handed or unconscionable by implementing this option on Mo Wilkerson, the team option they have for the fifth year, because he's a first rounder and this is the first year you're allowed to do that. When I see all other teams are preparing to do the same thing, and it seems fine. Look, these are the rules. If you're a restricted free agent, I mean, Mike Wallace, when he was a restricted free agent with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he didn't like getting a tender. But you know what? Those are the rules. That's been collectively bargained by your union and the NFL. So he played out his year under his restricted free agent tender, and then he became an unrestricted free agent and signed a $60 million deal. You know what? Marcel Reese didn't like being an exclusive restricted free agent, which meant that he couldn't negotiate with another team, sign with another team. He got his minimum. This was a couple of years ago. That's the rules, folks. The Jets aren't doing something dirty or underhanded, and they didn't do something dirty or underhanded to Darrell Revis by trading him. Here's a guy who was a malcontent from day one. The Jets paid over $55 million, and he was never happy. You know what? Darrell, come back, sign a fair contract, and let's go to work. Because you know something? This team, with him on it, playing at the level that he's capable of, they're going to the playoffs. And I don't, you know what, I kind of discounted it. This defense will be amazing. The defense will be amazing. I know they're going to get weapons on offense and stuff, but the defense will be amazing with Revis back in it. And people think that I don't like Revis, don't think he's a great player. He is. I just understand the financial aspects of it. And all the resources that the Jets got in the trade. But you know what? He comes back with that front seven. Look out, folks. Look out.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis, I mean, I'm with you. I'm not pressing the panic button quite yet, but if I wake up tomorrow and Revis is a Brown and Lamar Woodley goes somewhere else, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to start being a little – the criticisms are going to come out because, I mean, there's – you want to see – I mean, it's not like the Jets have $15 million. They have significant cap space, so – you know, I know they're identifying their own players, but at some point you got to say, hey, man, you know, wake up, let's make a move, let's address some of the needs, because the draft isn't going to be the cure-all, end-all. So it's interesting, man, just the fact that we both are just discussing the Revis coming back home is just mind-blowing at this point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately, John and Slim, when we had him on, it was a few days earlier, so some of this stuff was a little outdated, but yeah, people were mentioning this a long time ago, and I said earlier, eat my words. How could you give up all these resources just to cut the guy? Well, they're going to do it. They're going to do it because Jason Licht, the new GM, knows that having the $16 million wasted on a 5-11 team, and that's what they're going to be. I know they're bringing in free agents, but again, teams that build the free agency don't win. I'm sorry. They'd be a 5-11 team with or without Revis' $16 million and maybe build it something for the future. So, look, it's not impossible. There are teams out there that have a lot of cap space that would love to have him. But, again, maybe he just says, you know what? I want to play through my contract. And I know that Rex Ryan knows how to use me, and I'm gonna be Revis Island again. And you did mention about him losing the shoe deal and things like that. You know, it might play a part because a guy like Brandon Jacobs, for example, went to San Francisco for the money and hated it there and ended up back with the Giants, and everything was forgiven. And I really think if Revis came back – and he could make amends with Woody Johnson, and everybody said, hey, look, it was business and this and that, and we're ready to move forward, I think it would all be forgotten about. And I'm starting to think more and more it's a possibility where about 2 months ago I would have said forget about it, no way. I'm definitely thinking about it. But you're right. I think wave two of free agency is coming, you know, the next couple of days, and we'll see the Jets be proactive in wave two. These teams that have been proactive in wave one are now kind of tapped out. So the Jets are going to have to be proactive in wave two. They have the resources to do it, and let's see what happens. But Tyson, let's kind of wrap up. I mean, we had a two-hour show tonight. We usually don't. Like I said, we had a couple of phone calls. We wanted to get the guys in from across the seas there, and we were glad to have their input. Joe calling in. We had Jude call in. We had Jose call in earlier a little bit, talking about the quarterback situation. And you know what? It still is an exciting time, Tyson, in my mind. It still is an exciting time. There are a lot of questions out there. There's a lot of questions, and this organization has to answer them in a positive manner. But you know what? Good organizations, this is kind of the way, their blueprint, how they build, patient, smart, and thus far Idzik has followed that. I know eventually he's going to have to pull the trigger on some things, but I think it's coming.
Yeah, I think it's coming too. I mean, the wide receiver market, is still there's still a lot of resources out there, wide receivers, tight ends. I mean, defensive players are flying off the board. So, I mean, the Jets may not be addressing defense, but there's still definitely opportunities out there. But it's going to be interesting, Dennis. This is going to be a very interesting couple of days now. I mean, it's so funny. Idzik was, you know, the ninja, the genius, the next best thing in the world. Now it's like he's getting trashed on Twitter. So, Jet fans, hang in there. Another day or two, we'll see what happens.
And he hasn't re-signed Lijay Douzeball either. I mean, you know, he's got to get all these guys in here. You know, here's the funny thing. Again, he was trashed on Twitter when he made the Revis trade, and it turned out to be great. You know what? Let's see, again, let's see what happens moving forward in the short run, and let's see what happens moving forward in the long run. Just a quick programming note, next week we'll be back on probably our usual time, around an hour or so, you know, 8 o'clock, of course, Tuesday night. You can download this show on iTunes. Just search Jet Nation Radio. The email is jnradio@jetnation.com. The show's Twitter handle is @JetNation. The big site, jetnation.com, a lot of articles and things for you to do there. There's a forum there. You can chat with other Jet fans. I suggest you check it out. Also, the Twitter handle for that is @JetNation. So, for Tyson Rausch, this is Dennis Agapito. Jet Nation, we will see you next week at 8 o'clock.